every hymn that we were singing seems to have confirmed what God would have us to read this morning. Of course, every hymn that we usually sing confirms our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. But in preparing a message or wondering what God would have us to speak about or look at in God's Word, the times are important when you decide on what to speak. And since we are starting the gospel season in the open air, it would be a wonderful thing to try to give out the gospel, of course, as well as to encourage our hearts by reading the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mostly, if you have a red letter edition in your Bible, please turn to John chapter 5. You'll find the red letters very helpful, especially for Christians that are rather just starting out, or young people, or older people, not saved that long, maybe not familiar with God's Word. The red letters are very helpful. It's interesting that I met somebody, I won't mention his name, I think Robin knows him, and remembers him quite well. I told this before, he was a new Christian at the time, and he was reading the Bible through in the Old Testament, and he pretty soon got in over his head because he wasn't using any concordances or any other Bible helps, no commentaries. And he got kind of a little bit too involved in trying to really understand all the ins and outs of God's Word. And there's no word like it. It can be very simple to understand, but there are many levels in God's Word, and he was in over his head. And I said, well, what are you reading? And he told me. I said, have you been into the New Testament lately? He says, why, no. I said, how long has it been since you've been in the New Testament? He said, a couple months. I said, red letter deficiency. You're not reading the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when you're newly saved, and I don't care how long you've been saved. We need, actually, there's something about it. If you're born again, you are indwelt by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there is something within us, being born again, that's what that means. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. We still have the old nature, of course, but there is something within each one of us that is saved that responds to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't think so, I'm not going to advise you to try living without it. Some people have tried it, and it's a sneaky thing. You don't realize how far down the road you've gotten away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would never advise anybody to do that. Rather, it's much easier to stay in close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Staying close to him, you'll never fail. In fact, you'll never sin. You never will. Do you know that you will never sin if you stay in close to the Lord Jesus? Thank you, Ralph. Do you know that he's going to get a reward for this? He will. At the Bema Seat of Christ, the Bible says you're going to get a reward for the service you do. Your sins will never be mentioned. And he even put ice in that. Now, that's the difference between kindness and loving kindness. Now, ice is nice, especially on a warm day. But I'm just to use this as a teaching moment. Ralph, that's good. Thank you. And you may forget about this by the time you finally get to glory at the Bema Seat. You're going to forget all the little things you did for the Lord Jesus. You can't give the Lord Jesus Christ a glass of water. But the Lord said, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of these, the least of my disciples, you've done it unto me. So, a glass of cold water, and he's not going to forget the ice you put in it. That's a teaching moment. The Bema Seat of Christ is for Christians, and you are going to get a reward for that. And that's perfectly all right. You didn't do it to get a reward. You did it because you cared for me, that I wouldn't sound as bad as I normally do because of a bad throat. And there it goes. It's going. All right, I'll take a glass of water. Take a sip. Very good, Ralph. Thank you so much. But aside from that, the Lord is not unfaithful to forget your labor of love. There's something inside of us because of Christ that wants to know more about the Lord Jesus, more about Jesus. We're seeing that. More about Jesus. So here it is. I had an opportunity in this gospel season to encourage our hearts. What we're doing when we give out the gospel really is presenting Christ to the world. That's what we do. We're presenting Christ to the world. We should have a smile on our face. I know you're talking to dead people walking around in their sins, and I know we get intense a little bit, but listen, when I talk about my grandchildren whom I love, I smile. I find myself smiling. And when I talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, I can't help but be in a really good mood. My only sorrow is that not everyone is saved. And your heart naturally goes out to them. But sometimes we get worked up as Christians and we know what we're doing. We're standing between death and life. They're dead, we're alive. And we're presenting Christ to them that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That's what the Lord Jesus said. I am come that you may have life, eternal life, and have it more abundantly. God is not stingy. He's an open-handed God in many ways, more than one way. Christ was open-handed on the cross. His arms were out. And that was significant in more than one way. Christ will receive whosoever believes on him. He will receive you with open arms. His arms are not on the cross anymore, but those nail-pierced hands are still there, and you can see them. We know that from God's word, because the nail prints are still in his resurrected body. Thomas was invited to put his fingers into those nail prints. So we know that he still has those nail prints in his resurrection body. Christ rose from the dead, and it's our job to present Christ to the unsaved. What do we do at the Lord's Supper? We're still presenting Christ, but we're not presenting Christ to the unsaved. We're presenting Christ to God the Father. We're acting as believer priests, because if you're a believer, whether you're male or female, young or old, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches that you are a priest. A priest. What does a priest do? A priest presents what? The people to God. Presents an offering to God. A sacrifice, perhaps. Moses was a priest in a sense, one sense. His brother Aaron was of the Levitical priesthood, but in a sense, Moses was a priest because he was a mediator between people, the Israelites, and God. You pray, an intercessor, for instance. Well, if you're a believer, you are a priest to God, and what do we offer God? Well, when we got saved, we offered God ourselves, for one thing. The Bible teaches, if you're saved, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're a consecrated person. Doesn't matter what type of person you are. As long as you're saved, you are consecrated to God. You belong to God, the Bible says. You're not your own. And you were purchased as a sin slave, dead in trespasses and sins. You were purchased with the very blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, that's what a priest is. A prophet is different. I know there's some younger ones here, some newer ones. A prophet is different. He brings God to the people. The priest brings the people to God. The prophet brings God to the people. That's the difference. A king, of course, we all know what a king is. The Lord Jesus Christ was prophet, priest, and king. King of kings and Lord of lords, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So the moment we've all been waiting for when we get into God's word, I wanted to give that introduction. John chapter 5, and look at verse 30. If you have a red letter edition, I'm going to try to stay in the red letters so that we may actually warm our hearts when we hear the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, verse 30, it says, I can of my own self do nothing, the Lord says. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, My witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ never acted outside the will of his Father. Now, the reason why we're in this particular portion, now remember, it's the gospel season for the open air. But the gospel season actually goes year-round, all 12 months of the year, every day of every one of those months, 365 days a year. That is why we're here as Christians. There may be some here who are not saved. That's all right. It's okay if you know this. In fact, it's very good if you do know it. Every saved person, why are they here and not in heaven? Why did God leave you here and didn't take you home to heaven? That's where your home is. It's not here anymore. Why? To be a testimony. How did you get saved? The ones that are saved, how did they get saved? Through the witness of somebody else. It may be a mother or dad, a friend, a co-worker, a bunch of believers that this chapel is here for. You may have walked in and heard the gospel preached from this place. Maybe a gospel tract. Who gave you that tract? Who printed that tract? Wonderful ways of reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Think if there were no Christians, how would you get saved? You might stumble upon a Bible or a tract, but who printed that Bible? Who printed that tract? Who made it available to you? Who spoke with you? It was Christians. And when Christians are here on the earth, we're going to suffer. Yes, you are going to suffer. And people say, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, for one thing, there are no good people. There are none good, no, not one. God says so. But saved people, let's put it that way. People who are trying to be good. Why do good things happen to people? Why do bad things happen to people who are trying to be good? And I could say, why do good things happen to bad people? Which they do. The reason why is because suffering has two different effects on people. One, it can make you bitter. I know a woman who's quite old, and she's quite wealthy. I spoke with her recently, a couple of days ago, and I've tried to reach her. I haven't seen her in 2 years, but I tried to reach her with Christ again. She still didn't get it. She's pretty sharp, but she didn't get it. But I'm praying that she will. She's suffering. She can't hardly walk. She's got one eye gone. She's got all kinds of problems. No children, no family, nothing. And she's waiting to die. She's able to stay in her home because she has plenty of money. And she has help that comes in. Not a happy woman. Now, she had pretty good. It's a beautiful home. She has a big, fat Lincoln in the garage. She hasn't driven it in years. She has other people drive her around. Her husband is dead, but he left her well fixed. Not happy. She's bitter. Now, the same thing can happen to a Christian. The Bible warns against that. Let not the root of bitterness take root in your heart, and out of it comes a bad attitude. Well, that's one thing that suffering can do. And that's a negative thing, and we have to be very careful. We control what suffering does. It can make us closer to Christ. It can, if you want it to. If you let it, it can bring you closer to Christ. I've been brought to my knees in a lot of different ways. I will tell you that right now, and it's God working in my life. I am closer to Christ than I've ever been. I really am. I have my ups and downs, of course, like everyone else. And I do sin every day. I do. I try not to, but I'm a sinner. I'm no better than anyone else. I'm a sinner, but I'm trying to be different because I love the Lord Jesus and I want to please him. Just like Jesus Christ our Lord, you look at him as our great example. He's our Redeemer, but he's also our example. He says, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who hath sent me. Now, If you're not saved, you cannot do the will of God until you are saved, because that is what God wants you to be. God doesn't want you to go to hell and be away from Him. You were created for His glory. The Bible teaches that in Colossians and elsewhere. We were created for His glory, and God wants us to be His children. Yes, we're adopted, but yes, we are also born into His family, and God wants that. Well, let's continue on with what the Lord Jesus said. In verse 33, "You sent unto John," John the Baptizer, "and he bore witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that you might be," what? "Saved." God wants you to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from a lost eternity, because God says that if you die in your sins, in fact, it was the Lord Jesus who said it, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. You need to be saved. You must be born again. John 3:16 says that whole portion before and afterwards. You could sum it up. You must be saved. Here's what he says in verse 36. "The works that Jesus did." Now, these are answers to those who will come to you and say, "Well, I don't believe that Jesus really was God the Son." Well, this is why the Christians should refer to this section in order that they might read the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me." Now, there are many works that the Lord Jesus has done. We'll read later on, perhaps, if time permits, in John chapter 9. He healed a man who was born blind. In John chapter 11, he raised Lazarus from the dead, who has been dead 4 days, and those of us who have seen a little bit of life know what happens to a body that's been dead 4 days. The Bible says he's decomposing. The Lord Jesus, in front of everybody that was there, rose that body from the dead. Later on in John chapter 12, Lazarus, the dead person who has been resurrected by the Lord Jesus, was sitting at meat, at table, enjoying a feast with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that was a witness of his works, and there were many other works that he did. The speech of some were healed, the hearing was healed, and so on. He multiplied loaves and fishes. Yes, he's head of all creation. Yes, it's impossible. Yes, that's right. That's the whole point of a miracle. When people tell you that's impossible, you say, yes, that's the point. It's impossible. The virgin birth was impossible. Multiplying loaves and fishes was impossible. Noah's Ark with a flood covering the world is impossible. Jesus Christ our Lord said, with God, nothing is impossible. Do I believe the Bible? Yes, I do. You know why? Because it's the word of God. Jesus Christ said so. Now, I heard one man over a week ago say that God isn't fair. You're not fair. You're not fair. Look what happened to me. Look what happened to my family. And I know. You're not saved. Bad things happened to him. But God is fair. Yes, he's fair, because you don't know what God's purposes are in your life. How can you say that something is fair or not? Unless you know all the facts, and you don't. God knows all the facts. And God brings things into people's lives to get them to a point where they will finally acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. You give up. Surrender. Wave that white flag. Just wave it like that. That's what God is waiting to see. He wants to see the white flag. Wave it. I'm speaking figuratively, but if you have a white flag, go ahead and wave it. If you surrender to the Lord's will, you have to surrender. When I was a child, all my friends were older than I was, and I was the proverbial weakling. And all my older friends, and they were my friends, but let's face it, kids are going to be kids, especially boys. They would throw me on the ground and get on me, and they would pin me to the ground, And I'm not going to tell you what they did. It's just kind of gross, and it's almost time to eat. So I'm not going to tell you, but it was disgusting, and I was terrified. And they asked me if I surrendered. You give up? I said, of course. Of course. I'm not crazy. Of course. That's why suffering happens to the unsaved. God has to get your attention, dear folks. I'm telling you, he has to get your attention. Christians, same deal. The unsaved need to be saved. You're in and over your head. You know why farmers are more likely, you know, the Bible Belt out in the Midwest where all the farms are? You know why farmers are more likely to be saved? Not because they're stupid. It's not because they're uneducated. It's because they know that they don't control the weather. They're praying for rain. They're praying for sunshine. They're praying for this. It's out of their hands. They're praying. They know which side their bread is buttered on. That's why the farmers, the people that actually grow things dependent upon God, they know they're dependent upon God, and they're much more likely to be saved. That's why. That's why the poor, which most farmers are if they're not big farmers, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Because they are more dependent, they know they're over their head, and God has already dealt with them. And they're much more likely, not because they're uneducated, it's because they know. It's because they are educated. God has gotten their attention. You know who the dumbest people are? It's the people who don't know they're dumb. That's the dumb ones. The ones that don't know they're uneducated. The ones that don't know that they are substandard. And they can have all the money in the world, and they still don't get it. They are dependent upon God for everything, and they don't know. Somewhere in the book of Daniel, in the last book of Daniel, Belteshazzar dishonored God by taking the vessels in the temple and using them as in an orgy that he had. Now, he knew better. And he did it anyway. And Daniel rebuked him and he said, tonight, your life is going to end. And it did end. But he should have known better, and he did know better, but he was careless. And Daniel said something to Belteshazzar that got my attention. The God in whom thy breath, whose hand thy breath is, God has your heartbeat and your breath in his hand. You have not honored, he told him. You've not honored God in whose hand your breath is, your heart is, your next heartbeat. Every heartbeat that you have, every breath that you have, think about it. That's a gift from God. What's stopping you from going into eternity? What is it? Your vitamins? Your health food diet? Just forget it. You're going to be the best looking corpse anybody's ever seen in the funeral parlor. You can't add 1 inch to your stature, the Lord Jesus Christ said. You can't add 1 day to your life. You can be good with what God has given you, a good steward, and you should be. Take care of yourself. But our lives are numbered. Our days are numbered. Now here's what the Lord Jesus said about the witness of the Father in verse 37. The Father himself who hath sent me hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him you believe not. What is that? The witness of the Father? I told you a moment ago. It's the prophets. Many prophets were sent from God to the people. And by and large, the prophets were stoned because they told people what they did not want to hear. Now, when we go out with the gospel, every so often, you're going to see somebody or hear from somebody that isn't going to like what you have to say. Don't let that scare you. I'm there. I am always off to the side. You will see me off to the side when I'm not speaking, and I watch. That's my job. I watch the crowd, and nobody is going to hurt anybody that speaks. One, Robin is here today. Robin, do you remember the time on the Worcester Common on I think it was a Saturday afternoon? Yes, I'm sure it was. Saturday afternoon years ago, Robin was preaching the gospel. He had a necktie on like he has today. Well, good old faithful Robin, you know what happened? I wasn't watching. I was kind of new at this, and I was kind of hanging back, passing out tracts. And there was this little old guy, remember? He came up to you, and Robin's got the microphone in his hand, and he's giving out God's word faithfully. Wonderful gospel. It was always good. You always gave a good, that's what got you in trouble. This little old guy come over and he grabbed Robin by his necktie and he's hanging on Robin's necktie and he's bringing him down like this. And Robin didn't do a thing. He just kept going. He's going like this sideways. He was preaching horizontally on the ground. But I went over and I put my arm around the poor old guy and I led him away and I says, come here. Let me just talk to you. And Robin got up straight and he just finished his gospel message. You may have forgotten that, but I remember it. You remember? Do you? Nod your head. Okay, good. I didn't. No, that was a different time. We had whiskey bottles too, but they drink the whiskey. All of the whiskey bottles were empty, and they would throw those. I mean, you had to be good. You had to look around, so you just move your head like that. But I'm just telling you, that's the witness of God the Father. Now we're in a better section. We're at Elm Park now. And we don't get so many things, but I'm still there. I didn't come to town on a wagon load of cabbages, you know. I learn, and I'm still there, and I watch. Nobody gets close to the one who is speaking, so you're safe. So, but just bear that in mind. People are going to reject the gospel. They're going to reject it, even if it's from God the Father. They have no respect for God's word. But the ones we're trying to reach, really, are those people. Because if they're adamant about their unbelief, if they ever get saved by God's grace, they are going to be adamant about their belief. It's the same type of person that God will turn to his good. Now, that's the witness of the Father. Now, here's something that's really important that we see more often is the witness of God's word. Every one of us here has a Bible. The Lord says in verse 39, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." The Lord was speaking about the Old Testament because that's all they had when he spoke those words. Now we know from what the Lord said in this section between verse 5 and chapter 5 and chapter 15 that Moses was the author of the first five books of the Bible, all the way from Genesis and through Deuteronomy and so on. But the first five books were written by Moses. That's what he was talking about, the scriptures. And he says in verse 40, look at this. "And you will not come to me that you might have life." You have a choice to make. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You have a choice. Living for Christ is a choice. God will try to get your attention, get my attention. And he has, every day, all day, and I'm grateful for it. Yes, I am. I wasn't always grateful, but every day is a learning experience, and let's face it, I had an easier time training my dog than God had training me. And he is patient. He's much more patient than I was with my dog. God is patient, and he's patient with you. He's long-suffering. But the day will come when God will either take you home, if you continue on your evil ways, he'll take you home. And the sinner, who's unsaved, he will take them home too. But they won't go to the home that you and I are going to go to. Their home is much different. And I hesitate to call it home. The Bible doesn't really call it home. The Bible says there was found no place for them. And it was called hell and the lake of fire, because that's where they belong. Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. So there's God's home, and then there's every place else. And it's away from God, and it's eternal punishment forever. Look at what it says in verse 41. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. He's talking to people who were religious, but lost. The religious leaders of that day, they had no love of God, really. They loved the tradition. They loved the ritual. They loved the money. The money was very good. But they did not love God. Those things that they loved got in their way of loving God. Is there something in our lives that gets in our way between us and God? It's idolatry, whether you're saved or not. That's what it is. Anything that comes between us and God is idolatry. It may be a person, it may be a place, it may be a thing. I knew a fellow one time, he was going on for the Lord. Some of you might know him, I won't mention his name. He was going on for the Lord just before we got married, actually. I saw him at Roger Gurney's funeral. Still not going on for the Lord. What happened was, he inherited his father's business, and he got married, and his marriage was good. When they first got married, they were together, and they were together loving the Lord Jesus Christ. They were in their first love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I asked him, how you doing with the Lord after 30 years and not seeing him? He said, didn't want to talk about it. Changed. You could see that you have something between yourself and the Lord. Is Christ the most important thing in your life? Is he? Charlene is here, and she doesn't like it when I mention her name. But I asked her one time before we got married, I says, who do you love the most, me or the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you think she said? He said, I love the Lord Jesus better than I love you. I says, good. That's good. That makes me happy. You're the one for me. And so that's we're married to this day. You know why? Because she loves the Lord Jesus Christ more than she loves me. And I love the Lord Jesus Christ more than I love her. No divorce in our family. That's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of our home. He preserves. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful what he can do. It's amazing. Well, in verse 43, he says, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Now that brings to my mind the Antichrist who's coming. He may be alive on the earth. In fact, it seems like he must be on the earth. He hasn't been revealed yet. He won't be revealed until the church is taken out of here. And that's a story or a subject, I should say, for another time. The Antichrist will be taken. The word then in 2 Thessalonians tells us that it should be fairly soon after the church is gone that the Antichrist shall be revealed, and he will come in his own name. And Christ here is forecasting that. Of course, there are other people. There are many Antichrists in the world even now, but I'm talking about the Antichrist written about in the last book of the Bible. You will receive him. How can you believe in verse 44, who receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do you want to be honored by God? Do you know that God's going to honor you? We honor God. We try to. Every day that we're here, we try to honor God. That's what our life is involved with. Honoring God, doing his will. How do we honor God? By obeying him. By seeking to please him. The Lord Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. First, you got to love God. Do you know that you can choose to love God? Do you know that? Yes, it's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice to believe. There were some things I've seen that I couldn't believe. You live long enough, that'll happen to you. Catastrophe, all kinds of illness. But after a while, you come to believe it because it's true. You know it's true, and so you believe it, and you act upon that belief. And the evidence that Jesus Christ our Lord has given to us here has given us a choice. Do we just shrug our shoulders and turn away, or do we act on that belief? That is how we honor God. He that believeth not has made him a liar, the Bible says in John's epistle. If you don't believe Jesus Christ, you have made him a liar. When Christians refuse to believe the Bible, you have made God a liar. It's in God's word. Believe it. You have a choice. Either it's true or it's not true. You have a choice. I choose to believe it. And I act upon that belief. And that is what makes me a closer Christian to God my Father. And it's been a blessing. God has got my attention through all kinds of things. And he's getting your attention too, because all your lives have trouble. Every last one of you. The older you get, the more you're going to have. And it's God's way of bringing you closer to him. It's not because he's not fair. It's because he loves you. And he doesn't want you away from him. He wants you near to him. He's making every other exit a closed door. You might feel like a rat in a maze trying to get out. You try every exit but the right one. God wants us to come close to him. That is the way. And he will put things in each one of our lives that will draw us closer to him. Yes, bad things are going to happen. Yes, tragedies happen to the unsaved as well as to the saved. But it's to bring us to God. Why does it say in the Bible it's harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Because it's like a camel trying to go through the eye of a needle. It's because money buys a lot of comfort and buys a lot of problem solving. Let's put it that way. That's why it's harder for a rich person to come into heaven. It's harder for God to get their attention. They put their trust in their riches. Now I'm going to close. It's 12 o'clock. I'm going to close. I never go over 12. If you think you're falling asleep, in about 2 minutes I'll be falling asleep because I'm going to close now. I can't fall asleep when I'm preaching because I'm standing up. But after I step down, I'll probably fall asleep. So let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we're so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful, Father, we can be thankful that we're saved. We're thankful to be thankful. We're thankful to be saved, washed away from the penalty of our sins. What a comfort it is, what a relief it is to those of us, Father, who have been convicted of our sinfulness, and to know, Father, that our sins will never be brought to mind again. Father, if there are any unsaved in our meeting today, we ask thee for help and salvation. Let them realize, Father, they need a Savior, and they need to surrender to him, not coming to thee with any good works or anything else, but for forgiveness. And Father, we know that anyone that comes to thee and to thy Son will not be cast out, for thy Son has said so. Father, if those who are saved here might be a little discouraged at times or in pain, we ask thee, our Father, for help, that they might realize, Father, as they surrender to thee, that thou, Father, will provide relief And any pain, any discomfort is worthwhile if it brings us closer to thyself. Help us now, Father, as we go from this place, if we're going to give out the gospel tonight or during our daily activities from day to day, we ask thee for thy help as well. Help the unsaved whom we will meet. And we ask thee, our Father, that all things might be done to the honor and glory of thy Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.